Hello and welcome back to a Fishing Solo portion of our Casting Nets podcast. We return our attention to our study of the Book of Philippians, chapter 3. And if you don't know my voice by now, I am Will Harley, one of the hosts of Casting Nets podcast, and my cohort in crime, usually here with me, Don Winsberger, will be returning to record later for one of our normal shows as we go. But we did want on this Good Friday to continue our look at Philippians. And so we start here with the first 11 verses of Philippians to jump right on into our study, and then we will sort of move on from there and look for next week's where we kind to continue our way through. And so looking here at Philippians chapter 3, we start here at verse 1 going through verse 11. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things again to you, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evildoers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who are confident in Christ Jesus and who place no confidence in the flesh, even though I have grounds for confidence also in the flesh. We start there here just to sort of get our feet wet, really, on those first three verses, right? He returns to the theme of the book, that idea of rejoicing. So Paul is giving us cause to rejoice. He adds the qualifier for us that we rejoice in the Lord. Now, as he says it, rejoicing in the Lord, that we're rejoicing not because of empty hope, but rejoicing in what the Lord has given to us, what our Savior has won for us. We had just finished talking so much about these wonderful things as in chapter 2, we talked about the humiliation and exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus. He now is saying, this is the news to rejoice, not in yourself, but we rejoice in the Savior. We rejoice in what Christ has done. We rejoice in the cross of Christ, in the resurrection, the empty tomb of Christ. What a wonderful time to be talking about that, as today is Good Friday and Sunday will be Easter Sunday. Rejoicing in those events, that there we see Christ die for our sins. There at the open tomb we see him rise, and that God now has justified us, has accepted the sacrifice of his Son Jesus. So we safeguard ourselves. We are wary of those who would try to bring something else into this idea or into this picture than what we have been given. And he uses three words to describe who these people are: the dogs, the evildoers, the mutilation. So you have the dogs, those rampant unbelievers who would, especially during this time, dogs were considered to be filthy and unhealthy type of animals, scavengers almost. And so he says, these are these people who would drag you away, right? These people who are those who have no content or no interest in the things of God. The evildoers, those people that would lead us astray into thinking that what is evil is good and try to convince us that what is good is evil. And he says we stay away from those. And then he gives off this final warning to beware of the mutilation. And that's really a play on words. In Greek, the word for circumcision and the word for mutilation are very, very similar. The word for circumcision is peritome, and the word for mutilation is katatome. So you have very similar construction in there. And so he's playing off those words. And really, he's considering the circumcision of the Jews to be a mutilation. Not because circumcision in and of itself was a bad thing, but because they placed all of their comfort and hope in the fact that they did something instead of in Jesus, who did everything for them. And so he goes on from there from verse 4, right? In verse 4, he says that really the true circumcision group, verse 3, that the true circumcision group aren't those who have mutilated their flesh, but really have been brought into faith to worship in the Spirit, by the Spirit, who are confident in Christ and all that he has done as the Spirit has worked it in them, and who are now placing their confidence not in their flesh, not in the things that they think they can do, but only in Christ and what he has done. So verse 4, we continue, even though I have grounds for confidence also in my flesh. What is Paul saying in verse 4? He's saying that if you wanted to have a competition to see who actually has worked more to maybe deserve something, Paul can line up everything he's done, and he would line up very well and say, these are the things that I have done that make me worth more as one earning heaven, if that was even possible to do. So he's now going to give us a list of those things. So we have here, continuing on in verse 4, if anyone else thinks that he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee in regard to zeal, persecuting the church in regard to the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. So in other words, what he is saying is that if you wanted to give him a list, if you wanted to give a list of all the things that he has done in life that he could look at and say, look at all the wonderful things that I did, which in and of themselves probably weren't wrong or bad. The bad part about it is that he used them at one point before the Lord entered his heart. He thought those things made him worthy of eternal life. And they weren't. I mean, they were good things socially. They were good things on the surface, right, to our communities. But the things that Paul was doing had no bearing on his eternal welfare. In fact, they were things, because he was relying on them, actually detracted from his eternal welfare. So you think in our own life of the times that maybe we have put things in our, and maybe making it into perspective, put things before our Lord and said, but these are the things that I have done well. God should smile on me for them, right? That's kind of what Paul said he could have done. He could have used these things, like being circumcised on the eighth day, which was a Jewish law that on the eighth day, male children should be circumcised. He was of the people of Israel, the chosen ones of the Old Testament. He was a Benjamite. You can't get closer to the tribe of David than that. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He could trace his lineage back through all the multiple generations back to Abraham. In regard to the law, you can't get better than a Pharisee. People loved the Pharisees. Pharisees made good neighbors because they did so many wonderful things, and they lived their life in so many wonderful ways. Externally, Pharisees were amazing people. I mean, internally, there was, the Lord has says, and as John had said, the baptizer, they were whitewashed tombs. But these Pharisees, on the outward appearance, were great people that you would love to have as your neighbor. And he also, in his zeal for what it is that he had once believed, persecuted the church. And in regard to those things, as he persecuted the church, he had opportunity to come in contact with Christ. And as he comes in contact with Christ after persecuting the church, after thinking that he was blameless, after thinking that he was righteous in his own way, in his own life, and what he was doing, he comes in contact with the one who changes his life on the road to Damascus, right? He comes in contact with Christ himself. And we hear what happens in verse 7. But whatever things were a profit for me, these things I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. But even more than that, I consider everything to be a loss because of what is worth far more, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have lost all things, consider them rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. How beautiful, right? How beautiful that when he comes into contact with the Lord, that when the Spirit works in him and converts his heart, places him in Christ's death and resurrection, all of those things that he thought were to his benefit, all of those things that he thought he was doing that would make him look good or earn him eternal life meant absolutely nothing. Because the most important thing was knowing Jesus. The most important thing was knowing what Jesus has done for him. The most important thing was knowing that Jesus died and rose and declared him victorious. And so all those things become nothing. All those things become rubbish. They mean nothing. They have gained me nothing. But knowing Christ, having faith in him by the Spirit, gains me everything. And that is such a beautiful, beautiful reminder for us all. That so often we can be led astray into thinking that I have done, thinking that somehow I have contributed to, in maybe even a meager way, to why God is looking down on me, or why he loves me, or why I deserve heaven. And in the end, it's rubbish. In the end, it has done nothing. I have said it before to my people. I keep saying it over and over because I think it's needed to be said. As Luther said in the Heidelberg Disputation, that some of the greatest sins, in fact, the greatest sins that we ever need to ask forgiveness from our Lord because of, are the sins of thinking we have done something good to warrant heaven. In other words, that the very sins that are probably the worst, the ones that go unconfessed, are the very good works that we thought God would smile on and say, yep, that's why I claimed them as a Christian. That's why I'm giving them eternal life. Isaiah says it so beautifully, all of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. No one can do good, no, not one. Right? All have sinned. They fall short of the glory of God. What a reminder that our hope and comfort doesn't rest in what I have done, but rests in what Jesus has done for me, knowing in faith my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And having a righteousness not of my own, not of things that I have done in a list of my to-dos, but knowing that all of it is a list of done in Christ, now given to me. That the list that is before me is not a list of do this and don't do that, and if you aren't perfect, then oops, now you're suffering. But a list of everything has been completed in Christ, given to me freely through the Spirit. Now mine. It's mine. That righteousness is an alien righteousness, is what we would say. It's a righteousness not found within myself, but given, placed over me through Christ, as God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we would now gain Christ and everything that he has done. In verse 10 through 11, he continues, I do this so that I may know. Right? I do this that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, and the hope that in some way I may arrive at the resurrection of the dead. There you go. This is the benefit, right? That we cast off all of the things we think we've done, so we embrace our Lord and what he has done for us. And embracing our Lord and daily being brought to the cross, we see the power of the resurrection. As our Lord walks from the tomb, as our Lord declares us not guilty, as our Lord gives to us his peace, his comfort, and the assurance that our sins are forgiven, for he died for them. Now we join in a fellowship, yes, a fellowship of suffering in many ways, granted, but we join in this fellowship, right? We join in this fellowship of living for Christ, living in Christ together in a world that would throw Christ away, but yet we engage there with them to share Christ to this world. And yes, we're going to suffer for it, but with the hope, that our resurrection will come too. And it's not an empty hope, my dear friends. It is a certainty that just as Christ rose from the dead, so too will we. What a hope and comfort that is. Again, this has been a fishing solo episode of Casting Nets Podcast. Again, thank you for listening. As you have an opportunity to celebrate today, do take the time to go and look online to hear a sermon from your pastor or read a devotion about Good Friday, remembering what it is our Lord and Savior has done for each of us as he has given his life. And again, tune in to our website, to our podcast, to hear more of things that will help you grow in your faith and grow closer to your Lord and Savior. Stay healthy, stay well, stay centered on Christ Jesus. Amen.